Hi everyone, welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 38 for June 12th, 2018. Today we will be discussing your trade ideas, and over the last few days about 50 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I've put the list together, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. So that's the list we're going to go over today. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research, and I developed the show with Dean of Follow Me Trades, but he's off this week as moderator. So I have Matt Buckley back to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Thanks, David. I appreciate it. Welcome aboard, folks. It's Tuesday, but action-packed week. A lot on the flight schedule, obviously, unless you were on the other side of Mars yesterday, the North Korea Trump summit. But we have a lot of stuff going on this week. We got a Fed, we got ECB, we got a BOJ, you name it, Putin and Saudi Arabia, maybe jumping out of an OPEC deal. A lot to talk about in addition to all the symbols that you have that you sent to David. Joining me today is a couple regulars here, Chris Fromhertz of TribecaTradeGroup.com and Mike Paisani of AlphaShark.com, and he's also with SmartOptionTrading.com. Chris, why don't you kick it off, my friend, with a little bit of a bio about your background and what you currently do at TribecaTradeGroup.com.
Yeah, certainly, and thanks for having me on. Great to be on again with Matt. Haven't been on I think with him hosting for a while, so very nice. And David, thanks for having me on. Yeah, sure. I started the Tribeca Trade Group a couple of years ago. My background is I was an institutional trader with Merrill Lynch, or Bank of America Merrill Lynch, as it's known now, for a number of years. I traded global equities, basically everything through ETFs and program trading over there at Merrill Lynch. And I started Tribeca Trade Group a couple of years ago. My goal is to kind of bring the institutional trading desk over to retail investors. I act as a major filter. I read the tape all day long, both with cash equities as well as options, and then kind of scan and bring them into my own proprietary trading system, using the option flow and as well as a couple other technicals, and provide my customers with trading ideas, and they get to see me trade real time and so on and so forth. So again, great to be on the panel, and look forward to going over some names and charts.
You bet, Chris. Good to work with you again. And Mike, why don't you give us a quick executive summary there, my friend?
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me on. Nice to be back. Thank you, David. Chris, nice to be back with you as well. I'm a self-made trader. I taught myself this through a lot of great times and some severe pain when I have started figuring out that you can't do the same thing all the time and the market changes. So you can find me over at smartoptiontrading.com. What I do there is I call out the option flow all day long, news, my trades, what I'm seeing in the market, what looks good, what doesn't look good. I also do some teaching. I teach people how to trade options or how to trade in the markets. And I don't just trade options. I trade both options and equity. And you know, a lot of people kind of forget that you can trade day trade equity with a lot tighter stops than you can on options without dealing with the implied volatility and some of that stuff. I love options, but sometimes it's just easier to trade the common stock. You can also find me at Alpha Shark. I'm a moderator there for about 2 hours a day during the middle of the day from 12 to 1:30 and a little bit before the open. So lots to do. Find me around all over the place, and I look forward to talking to the markets today. Lots to talk about.
Yeah, agreed, man. This is an incredible week. Let me just give everybody a quick bio about me. Matthew Buckley, you guys can let me find the beginning here, wherever the hell I am. You can call me Wiz. That's my call sign that I earned flying the F-18 Hornet for the United States Navy for about 15 years. Graduated from the Navy Fighter Weapons School, which many of you know is Top Gun. Got to fly with the Blue Angels, got to be an LSO, did about, like I said, 44 missions over Iraq. After that, got boring. I did the professional trading thing. I took everything I was learning flying a fighter aircraft and applied it to my trading, and I popped up on one of the largest volatility arbitrage firms for one of the largest companies in the world here, headquartered in the CBOT right there, Chicago Board of Trade. That's Peak Six Investments. Helped start a hedge fund. Helped build Options House, and obviously I was the founder and CEO of the Options News Network, ONN.TV. But then, and obviously felt a little like Valentine in Trading Places, you know, proving that everybody, all these professional traders put their pants on one leg at a time, man, or their skirt, as the case may be. So went up there, did all that stuff, and decided that Chicago winters were best left for people other than me and moved down here to God's waiting room in Boca Raton, where I started Top Gun Options about 10 years ago. All right, let's go top of the order here. Back to Chris. Let's pull up our list. David's got him on there. The first symbol we're going to talk about, and if you've been with me guys before, you know that if I don't trade the name, I don't throw darts. But there's a lot of other folks that can read some tea leaves here. So, Chris, how about
a quick note for you guys? Crude numbers are out. Big builds in gas and distillates. Very small draws in crude and Cushing.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. We might get to that here in a little bit. XLE, that's flat. Okay, Chris, take a look at Arrow Electronics. What's your take on Arrow Electronics, ARW?
Yeah, sure. And I'll start with the weekly chart. I think it's always a good place, by the way, to start with the weekly chart and then to draw in to the daily chart. But it looks like it's just taking a view from the top here in ARW, which I'm not that familiar with this name, but just going over the technicals, it does look like it's over the last couple of years, it's been in a nice uptrend. I do use value errors. I'll just explain those for about 15 seconds because I'm going to be talking about them through every symbol. But basically what I look at a lot is not so much volume over time, which I do look at and is important, but volume at price. I really think that gives some really good support and resistance levels. It comes up time and time again. So ARW, looking at the weekly chart. So what this is a one standard deviation based on the previous time's price. And it looks like we're butting up right against the top of value. I personally would wait until you get a break above 70, call it 79. That's on the weekly chart. And I think that coincides nicely. I like when multiple timeframes kind of line up. But if you move over to the daily chart, you also have the 200-day moving average, which is also, so I said 79 on the weekly chart. I would use the higher one here, and I would say 79.25. It looks like it is basing here, but I would wait for a little bit of confirmation ahead of time. Sometimes the 200-day moving average will act as a good barrier. Sometimes it keeps me out of trades. Sometimes it leaps right over. I think iRobot, which I know is not on the list, but that butted up right against the 200-day moving average yesterday and then did a whole like leapfrog over. I don't know if anybody was paying attention to that name today, but so I would, going back to this ARW 79.22, I would wait for your little bit of confirmation to go long and then use that 200-day moving average as your stop.
I like it. Chris, what's your take?
Or Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got that backwards.
It's okay. Just making sure we have it right. I actually like a lot of what Chris said. I'm going to look at it. Since you already looked at daily, Chris, or the weekly, I'll look at the daily. You had a big downtrend break there, right? And you've exploded out of that now. To your point, to me, the 200 days resistance here. Until it breaks the 200 day, it's not a traded. And this far off the 8-day, it's not an entrance for me. I also wouldn't trade this name. I would own it, but it doesn't have enough volume. Anything that trades under 1 million shares for me, I'm very hesitant to day trade it just because it can be hard to get in and out of it. So volume's not there. So for me, this is if you like it and you know the fundamentals, you buy it and you hold it. And I agree. It gets over 79. It should get some institutional buying to come back into it and it should start to get going. But here, it's already had the move. To me, that short squeeze has already happened here from 75 to the 78 area. And now we'll see if it can flag for another move.
Oh, I got that.
Sorry to interrupt. AT&T wins antitrust ruling allowing takeover of Time Warner. Just crossed the tape.
No way. Holy crap. That's a big deal. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yep. Oh, wow. All right. Well, maybe we'll save some time to talk about that at the end. That's interesting. The president campaigned against that. Not going to be on my watch and all that stuff. So that's going to be it's going to be interesting. Let's go, Micron, because I'm not an Arrow Electronics guy. I'm not a huge chartist. I'd rather talk about Micron. It's a big gorilla in the room in the tech and semiconductor. Of course, we all have to do a shot if we mention the word Bitcoin. But let's at least take a swing at this. And Chris, you can go first, and then Mike. What do you think about Micron?
Micron. All right. Yeah, let me bring that up. Well, you know, I think it's made a really nice move here. And I have not been in it for the last couple weeks. It reports earnings, I think, if somebody please correct me, I'm going from memory, but I think it reports on the 20th or 22nd. But it's budding
22nd.
Up 22nd. Yeah. So, yeah. And it is actually right in front of me. But yeah, I mean, I think it's getting ready. It might be ready to start to break out, but I would wait for that confirmation of, was it 6210 on my chart, which is the top of value. Notice the last time I have what's called on my charts, which, they're called virgin point of controls. You could see one right here. Great places to kind of take profits. Which was what we saw a couple weeks ago. We've kind of fallen into support. So it's doing a little bit of consolidation. I think it might be ready for its next leg, might be ready to perhaps run into earnings, which we've seen a lot of tech names doing. So I would wait for that confirmation to play a little bit of a breakout here. 62, call it 62.11. I would be long, and I would be long against that level going into earnings.
Okay. I'm going to take a little bit of a different view here. And I love Micron. I've actually traded it a couple times in the last weeks. But this is, you didn't go to the weekly chart, Chris, so I'll go there. Look at this move from under 10 to now up around 70 bucks a share in a very short time for a stock. If anything is screaming, be careful, it could be a little tired. This to me is it. And I love this stock and I will trade this thing every day. But you know, for me, it filled that gap that I was watching for yesterday, and you got a big reversal candle here today. I'm kind of in a hands-off mode with this thing until after earnings. It needs to prove it to me. The only way it's going to really, to me, move the needle here is if it actually really raises guidance, and it's going to have to really raise guidance, I think, at this point, because it's just had such a huge move. So I'd be more cautious in this name at this point after this. How about you, Matt?
Well, you know, what's funny is what's interesting is I'm going to use this as an Obama teachable moment here. What did you guys, when did you guys say earnings was?
22nd, I believe.
The 22nd. Okay. This E-Trade says the 20th, and it says confirmed. So if you're a retail trader, and I like to point this out to new TGO members all the time, you can, there is only one place on God's green earth. I don't care if it says confirmed here. Where's the one place you can find when earnings is for Micron Technology? There's only one place on the face of the earth. It is on the company's investor relations page. I don't know if it's the 22nd or the 20th. If you guys are saying 22nd,
now Toss,
you have to look at the IR.
Now Toss says the 20th, so I'll go with what you're saying here. It used to say the 22nd, so I'll go with you.
Well, they might have confirmed it today. I'm using Obama teachable moment here to laugh about this because these people or these platforms can be wrong. So always check the IR page. That's my. I agree with you on the run. This has had an incredible run, man. I mean, this is a massive run from what was it? Yeah, 10 bucks or something like that is a 503% run there, which is just absolutely nuts. It's a great, solid company. Got to be honest with you, like you said, I think it's getting a little tired here. But let me pull out one of my wisdoms. You know, the market can remain irrational longer than you can stay solvent. So it's way above the 50-day moving average here and hasn't even come back and touched it in a long time here. I'm bullish on Micron Technology. I love the sector. However, even though it's not a fang, in my opinion, the only place you need to be is Amazon. Amazon could find Micron in its couch, but I'm not going to get on my Amazon altar right now. But Micron, love it, and I'd be bullish here. Let's move to Bravo Delta X-Ray, BDX, Becton Dickinson Company. Let's go ahead and let's rip this one apart. Earnings not out until August. And it's I'm not a biotech or a healthcare guy, but Chris, what's your take on Becton Dickinson?
BDX. All right. I will start with the weekly chart for this one. I forgot to do that in the last symbol. Thank you, Mike, on that one. So yeah, the weekly chart it looks like it's just moving in the right direction. Not too much to analyze in terms of this one. Hit a high, what, 248 for this one. Almost firing off an MACD crossover, which is nice for this one. And just take a look at the daily. We'll move over to the daily chart. You know, don't see anything crazy sexy with this one, but if you're long, I would stay long. Would I get long here? Maybe if it clears above 235. But like I said, the weekly chart looks okay. Daily chart looks fine too. It's already made a nice swing up from 220 to 233. I would look for that further just break out of this little bit of consolidation here, 235, and you may be running up to the peak. So it looks good to me.
Good calls. Mike.
Sorry, guys. As we're sitting here, I'm watching the fallout from AT&T and some of these stocks. And Disney's getting crushed, and Fox A is going through the roof. So it's just kind of interesting to me.
I'm trying to do the same thing. Yeah, I'm trying to multitask.
I'm looking at some of this stuff because I'm like, wow. To me here, I look at the daily chart in this one, and I think he just nailed it. You know, it needs to break this area. It needs to take out this 235 area and I think it has a straight run back to this high of 248 at that point, which is a nice move. It's not overbought. It's in good shape. It looks kind of nice. It's been digesting the things in here nicely. And I think you said you have about a month and a half to earnings, so you got plenty of time. I would try dips off the 8-day. Typically, the first time you come to a double top, you get resistance there and you pull back a little bit. So I would look to try to catch it off the 8-day there and try for a move for a breakout as long as the market's holding.
I'd agree with that. I think both you guys are right. It's healthy here, as Mike said. I'm not a big healthcare guy, especially the biotechs. I avoid them like the plague, just you know, because in the blink of an eye. I think we're targeting. Let's move on to BABA because I like BABA and I like this area. Chris, what's your take on BABA? I think we're talking pre-show about this, or somebody was.
Yeah, BABA strong to quite strong. Yeah, I mean it really looks good. You had a little bit. I'll start with the weekly chart. You know, it's been consolidated, which is really nice, right? For the most part of 2018, you know, had a huge move in 2017. Just ginormous run, you know, and then what's nice is after, you know, names and including our, you know, the overall market, which, you know, kind of fell a little bit. Obviously, we know what happened in the wintertime. You know, consolidated for a couple months. It kind of has a little bit of a parallel to BABA here. You know, consolidating for a couple months. They had a great earnings report a couple weeks back. Didn't really react too much to their earnings. Well, actually, it did. And then it consolidated. Had a little bit of a bear flag here. Nice move out of the bear flag. Had a couple days. You know. And then just recently pulled back just a touch, you know, maybe about half that breakout of the flag pattern, right into that support of the top of value as well as the 20-day moving average, and it looks like it's poised to run out and get new highs here. So I like it. It's above all short-term moving averages. Stay with it. Be long, BABA.
Amen.
I like it. anything to add to that, Chris? That was very well done.
Thank you. It's Mike. Honestly, I told everybody to be selling this thing up when we hit 210 last week. And I've been telling everybody that this dip is probably buyable. And I was trying to buy it today, but TOS crashed for 2.5 hours and I couldn't get filled. So I'll either be chasing this tomorrow or crying. I haven't decided which one yet. How's that for an answer?
Yikes. The platform went down for a full 3 hours.
Thinkorswim was down nationwide for 2.5 hours today.
Ooh, any comment? that's a long time.
They had serious issues. At one point, I was telling David, I was trading. Their bid ask was right, but you couldn't touch options, but you could the charts weren't working. I was trading X on the bid ask and just watching the bid ask.
Oh, Jesus.
How's that tell you how my day was?
That's a smoke in a pack of Lucky Strikes right there, man. Holy crap.
But
that's
I wanted
good.
BABA. I agree. I think BABA looks perfect. So you take this one, Matt.
Yeah, no, this is good. Let me share my screen here. I do like BABA. I'd slide Amazon in its place, to be honest with you. It is, for those who don't trade BABA, it is a services stock in the retail sector. It is an Amazon, but it ain't Amazon. And they are two two big monkeys. This is a headline I like here. Morgan Stanley, Alibaba's opportunity in China is vastly greater than Amazon's U.S. potential. Morgan Stanley ain't no ship of fools. That's an incredible headline right there. I didn't get a chance to read this article before we went on the air, but I like this. It's blew through the 50-day at the beginning of May. Look at that. Since this beginning of May, held the stocks up 16%. Very strong rally. I like the prospects in China. And I got to be honest with you, this North Korea deal, potential deal, nothing's in ink and all that crap. I get it. Can only be good for any sort of Asian type of company like this. I love Jack Ma, and I think it's a great stock. I'd be looking at hopping in my Super Hornet and going out to these Jan 20s and buying some deep in the money 80 calls, selling some front month upside calls it kind of levels off. I usually tend to sell front month upside calls when the stock, I don't know, about 5 to 10% out of the money to give myself a little bit of delta here. But no, I think Mike nailed it. He put it right through the bullseye. Okay, I think next was, whatchamacallit, was...
Hess is next?
Hess. Yeah, Hess Corp. Yeah, Mike, so how about Hess? What do you think about Hess and the energy sector? And we talked about before going on the air here, the OPEC meeting coming up on the 22nd.
I was very long energy for a while. Now I was short energy for a little bit, I think to last week. And now I just have a little bit of rig left common. And I'm kind of flat here because I really just don't know, Matt. I think this OPEC meeting is going to be very big for the energy sector. Are they going to increase production or they aren't? And where's the capacity going to come from? Because obviously we're getting into a demand issue around the world. That's becoming evident. We already had the crude numbers out tonight. We had a building gasoline distillates, but a pull in crude and Cushing. And tomorrow's the big numbers, right? The API numbers. But these are the other ones. Schlumberger today, a lot of people don't know this. There's a conference going out on right now on the West Coast. And Schlumberger came out in their presentation, they lowered guidance midday. That was that was a red flag.
That might be a little bit of a canary in the coal mine.
So for Hess specifically, I would see if it hits the 50-day and holds at the bottom of the Bollinger Band here. I am not looking to get long any energy names into after OPEC, unless I just scalp it for a quick couple bucks in my pocket, literally in and out within an hour or so. I have no interest here.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah, I think you guys covered it very well, and I would agree with the technicals. The only thing I would add, just with oil, clearly it had a nice move. I think a lot of people made some money on the energy plays. All the energy names went up for a couple of weeks, so there was some money to be made there. I was long a couple names myself. I think right now it's really tough when you have. When someone's controlling the supply, and you guys already touched upon, there's a meeting next week. Who knows what these guys are going to say, right? I mean, who knows what if these guys decide to open the spigots? It's going to be painful for a bit. So it's a tough market to trade. A couple weeks ago, just as I think Mike was saying, I had a couple energy plays on. Right now, I've got on one name right now, and I think that's kind of in your overall portfolio. Maybe have a little bit of exposure to energy, but I'm not personally putting on, an overweight position in any of these, energy names. So, I think Hess, there was a lot of call buying in Hess, as the Nigerians like to say, a lot of paper in there and they scrambled into Hess calls. So, just as Mike said, I think if it holds the 50-day moving average, maybe a good shot there after a nice move up.
I agree. In our portfolios here at Topcon Options, I'm an ExxonMobil guy. But you're right. Yeah, exactly. It hadn't been too bad. I mean, it got kicked into Jimmy last earnings. But ExxonMobil, they trimmed, when was it, 2 years ago? Whenever the hell we had the holy crap oils through 30, come to Jesus talk, they trimmed their sales for about $35 barrel and oil. It's going to be interesting to see what Russia does. Friday, Vlad is meeting Who's he meeting with? MBS, Mohammed bin Sulaiman or something like that. Where's Friday? Friday,
right?
No, Thursday, something. Vladimir Putin, Mohammed bin Salman, that Saudi crown prince that locked everybody's ass up. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here, especially with the continuing shit show down in Venezuela. Well, let me get back to Hess since somebody asked about it. I think Chris, you said, or whoever said it, with the I wouldn't get new here, to be honest with you, with the volatility of the OPEC meeting coming up, and especially with that canary in the coal mine you mentioned, Schlumberger. I'd see if it holds this this 50-day or the middle of these this Keltner channel right here. This that doesn't look like a promising chart. That kind of looks like a dead cat, kind of a maybe a dead lion bounce. It took a little further, and then we're heading down here. So I'd be careful in Hess, and I might just keep my powder dry until that OPEC meeting to really see what happens. Do they open the spigots? Does Russia take their ball and go home? What happens? So I wouldn't be getting super in energy right now if you don't know what you are talking about. What's next? Sirius Solar Integrated Roofing Corp. Never heard of it, but let's try and take it apart there, Chris. What about this one?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Solar names. I mean, I have been following the solar names, the whole group. They've kind of gotten beaten up, probably a little bit of an overreaction to some China news about theirs and tariff stuff. But this one, I'm not that familiar with. I think the overall chart looks, regardless of the familiarity, looks pretty trendless. It's sitting around a flat 200-day moving average. I would wait for the C word confirmation a lot already, but I would make, and this is also what, a 38-cent stock. I would wait until this thing moves out of range. 70 cents, to me, I would say an avoid right now.
Mike, what are you saying?
I'm going to make it simple. I mean, I do not touch penny stocks. This thing trades 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 shares a day. You don't touch a name like this. This is something that if you think it has the fundamentals to explode, you buy some at a very small, couple hundred shares, 1,000 max, you put it away and you let it go. But these names more often than not go to zero. I learned that the hard way. I think a lot of people have trying to trade them. You want to trade solar stocks, you trade First Solar. You trade CSIQ. Or you trade TAN, the ETF. You don't touch something like this. This thing you're asking to get your ass kicked.
Yeah, well, that's a great way to say it. A stock is at 38 cents for a reason. So this is a lottery ticket. I don't trade stocks under $10, or if I do, I don't trade the options because the stock is an option in and of itself. So I wouldn't touch this one. Move along. The XLK. This is a good one. Let's talk about the XLK, Chris. Talked about this one today in our live trade brief. It's obviously the spider ETF on tech.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So I call XLK the it's basically large cap tech for the most part. Yeah, I mean you have all tech in there, but it's market cap weighted. So your Apple, your Microsoft, your FANG stocks are up there along with Apple and a couple other names. The trend is up. It's all tech is pretty strong right now. Small cap tech, mid cap tech, large cap tech. So basically, with being very simple here. Keeping it simple and just sticking with the trend. It's been one of the strongest sectors. I would not fade tech right now. I would be taking profits when it gets super overbought. We did get overbought last week, coming out of this pattern, out of this little consolidation. We took that leg higher. It almost kind of looks like that analysis we were doing with Baba. A lot of the big large cap tech has a lot of similar properties to it. But for now, it's above the short-term moving averages. Stick with it.
Like that. That's couldn't agree more. Mike?
I kind of have to agree with him here, Chris. Technology, when it leads, it's a wonderful thing. I don't know about you guys, but I love trading technology stocks because they move fast and we make money faster on them than like most of the banks most of the time. So, right now it's looking good. Doesn't NVIDIA have an investor meeting or shareholders meeting tonight after the close? CRM does too. So there's things out there to ignite the tech more. What I love right now in this market, they're rotating, right? They're rotating rapidly from name to name in this market. We were talking before we came on, Google closed at a high today. In a day when the markets looked blah and nothing was going on, Google closed at the highs. There's still strength in the sector. There's still an appetite for risk. As long as names like the XLK or the Qs hold up, there's an appetite for risk. So I love it. I'd stick with it.
It's been interesting because this kind of this rally-ish that's half of our January has been really on the back of tech stocks, folks. Morgan Stanley came out with a note the other day, the tech bubble can burst at any moment. And this is interesting. If you look at insider selling of Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, I'll never call it Alphabet, they are huge inside selling of tech stocks. It's interesting because like I was shooting shit earlier, the biggest thing that ain't in here is not a tech stock, but it used to be called a FANG, right? Is Amazon. Amazon is not in the XLK. It's what, 15% weighted to Apple. You got your Facebook in there. It's got, wait a minute. There's something in there that I laughed about today. Hold on. There's something that we all set in a XLK holdings. There it is. Something down towards the bottom and it's above a, what the hell's it doing in there too? Wait, I got to look this up because we laughed today. Oh, Visa. Can you guys tell me why Visa is in the – look at this.
Because they're going to buy Square, and we're all going to be rich.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, let me hold my breath.
In here too. I mean, even Verizon is in there too.
Yeah, look at that. Isn't this interesting? I get these guys, Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, Alphabet, Intel, Cisco, and then you get these guys. I get the telecoms a little bit, but Visa cracks me up. So this was interesting. To be honest with you, I don't like the XLK right now. I am feeling a little tech wreckish. The one that's really a moon, and again, I'm going to beat this drum. If you can't afford Amazon, if you can't afford a Jan 20 long called Agilent or synthetic stock, a good proxy for Amazon is what? It's the XLY. If you take a look at this one, let's look that one up. XLY Holdings. XLY Holdings. I should have just looked on that site. It's like 21%. Amazon.
21.2.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. So the XLY, if you want to get a little bit of there you go, Amazon. And then look at some of these other ones in here. What's Disney doing right now after hours?
Down said, hard.
Is it? Yeah. Home Depot. There's a Netflix in here too. So if you want some exposure to Amazon but can't afford it, like I said, for a long call diagonal, I'd look into the XLY. But the XLK, I don't know, man. There's a lot of I'm a spirit animal with Jeffrey Gunlock at Facebook. There's a lot of roaches
in
that kitchen.
Don't invoke Gunlock here, man. Matt, come on. Gundabear does not deserve to be in these conversations. Never short a dull market.
Wait, say it again, man.
Never short a dull market.
Gundalock outside my universe here. Say it again.
Gundalock's always looking to short every market out there. Never short a dull market. We have a dull market right now. I would not be going looking to short the hell out of everything here. And he is. You know what I mean? You there?
Oh, we lost him.
Okay, now I'm back. Literally, it sounded like you were Elon Musk talking to me from Mars, man. I didn't hear any of that, but
all right.
Yes. Yeah, if you're bad-mouthing me, I appreciate it.
I wasn't bad-mouthing you. I mean, I just said leave the luck out of this thing, man. I can't. He comes on. He wants to short the hell out of everything no matter what's going on.
Okay. All right. Let's go with what are we looking at? I have no idea what NVAX is.
We have a question. You might want to check that, Matt.
Hi, gentlemen.
Yeah, this is kind of relevant to what you were just talking about with Visa. But
how are the banks seem reluctant to get going north? AXP seems to be most resilient. What's with JP Morgan and crew? Yeah, we can talk about the financials. We can take a break. I'm a JP Morgan guy. I can't stand Lloyd Blankfein and Goldman Sachs. Lloyd Blankfein is that house guest that never leaves. The dude said he's leaving, and he hasn't left. So I can't stand Goldman Sachs. I'm a JP Morgan and Morgan Stanley guy. But these things are not going to get airborne. Unless Jerome Powell comes out tomorrow and really shocks everybody. I mean, we know we're getting a 25 bip increase tomorrow. But I got to be honest with you. They're just not, you know, yeah, 20, we're going up to 2. He hasn't come out with a real flight plan yet or a climb schedule. who was it, Greenspan, when he started cranking up interest rates, it literally looked like a flight of stairs, and the market knew what was going on, and financials could sit there and say, everything's great, and we're going to start printing money again. I don't know. It's the fear of the unknown. Instead of a JP Morgan, I've told TGO members, we've been targeting, we just talked about this, Visa. You take a look at Visa, this thing, you just can't keep it down. So compare that with a JP Morgan. The financials right now, I call them the South. So look at that compared to Visa, folks. Which one would you rather be in? The financials will rise again, but they ain't going to get airborne until Jerome Powell and the Fed starts figuring out what the hell we're doing with interest rates. So I'm not super bullish on the financials here, to be honest. Chris, how about you this time?
Yeah, if we're still on the financials, yeah, I would love to chime in about this one. So yeah, I've talked a lot about the financials in our training room, and I think probably people are tired of hearing me talk about it, but because you know I used to work at a bank for a long time, and I know that it's it's just not the same as it was. So I know people are waiting for the financials to come back alive. I just don't think that they have major catalysts. I think that if you look at an investment bank, their margins are getting crushed all over the place. I mean, there's still ways that they can make money, but I think trading wise, you know, investment banks are not making 5 cents a share or 3 cents a share commissions anymore. I think they're being squeezed. I think they're being squeezed by the little guys. So yeah, JP Morgan, Citi, Bank of America, I like to buy those when they've really been run over, but I like the smaller groups. I have up in front of me, this is the small cap financials. I think the smaller guys are, including the regional banks, are doing better. I think they're eating their lunch in terms, you know, and even if you look at the broker dealer ETF, which is IAI, so your TD Ameritrade, if you take a look at some of these charts, they're just much cleaner charts to me. Although, you know, TD Ameritrade hasn't been doing anything crazy, but they're acting much better. And that ETF is IAI. Again, doesn't really compel me to jump in, but you could see there's been a lot of accumulation in the broker dealers and the smaller brokers, the retail brokers, rather than the big investment banks. You know, maybe the Volcker rule coming undone might provide a little bit to go, but you know, I continue to wait until they get run over and the sentiment is really ugly in the big houses. But I just don't think they were what they were 20 years ago, where they were great places to work. You know, people enjoyed working for them. If you talk to anybody who works for a big bank these days, odds are they're not exactly thrilled about working.
No, it ain't.
I got
it ain't the Goldman Sachs
of two of you.
Go ahead.
So I love this. This is what makes the show great. Sentiment's getting there. If you look at sentiment in the financials, it's getting pretty wrecked right now. If you look at like the option market and sentiment's telling us within these things, it's pretty down the bottom here. There are catalysts, you know, maybe not so much for the Goldman Sachs, but for the regional banks especially, the repeal of some of the Dodd-Frank's rule. There are catalysts here to get it going. I think Italy struck a dagger into the banks a couple weeks ago, just that raising that fear of what their exposure was. You're right. I think the rate increase tomorrow is built in. I'm not sure the ECB is built in, Matt. We and I talked about that briefly. I'm not sure we know what to expect from Draghi on Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. All right. And to your point, I'd like to see Powell come out with a little bit more bullish in a plan and don't just say the markets are overheated. He says that again. I want to go over there and smack him upside the head. Mm-hmm. But I think the banks are just waiting their turn. And ultimately, I think this market's going to make its next move. The banks are going to have to participate. And I actually kind of like them down this area because nobody's looking at them. And the one thing this market does is when nobody's looking at something, what do? They come in and they run it up out of nowhere. I actually think the banks at some point this summer are going to take off. So it may not be today, but at some point this summer, they're going to explode.
So just one question. I hear this a lot. Why do the banks have to, for the market to go higher, why do the banks have to participate?
Because they're such a big sector. There's such a big piece of the SPY and even of the IWM. If they're not participating, that's just a big section that's not involved. And if you've already rotated into the other sectors, that's the natural place to go if you want to keep the indexes up or keep things moving.
I think there's different type of financials, right? I mean, you got your mom and pop, Wells Fargo's, Bank of America, City sitting on the corners, and then you got your blue blood, you know, Lloyd Blankfein's, and your investment banks. So and your regional banks, like we were just talking about. So I think we're in a different environment, man. I honestly think that the financials are pretty beaten down. What's old Dow theory say? Financials and transports tend to lead us in and out of good and bad, right? I mean, if banks aren't lending, we're not getting the Geo Joes with the Kung Fu grips or a new car or small business loans or buying homes with mortgages. But I don't know, man. It might be the summer. I don't know. At this point, I'd be throwing darts with the financials. That's why I told my members, I'm like, let's just sit on the sidelines and watch our JP Morgan and get into a Visa or something like that. If you need to be in something related to finance, be in something like that, or the regional banks, like I think Mike, you were pointing out. So, or Chris was.
You brought up another great sector, by the way. The transports have been beaten up. When are they going to come alive again? And that's the one thing about this market. And that's why I always tell me, watch, they rotate. They will come after something that nobody's looking at.
My baby transport's taken off. This was a Gordon Gekko moment. Take a look at CSX.
I saw.
I love my CSX. Here's a Gordon Gekko moment. Dude, where is it? Right here. Old CEO drops dead right here. Boop. No turnover plan. Why? Because CEOs are imperial and they never think they're going to die. We got in a CSX the day after that dude died and it's up. What, 29% since then? And Donald J. Trump and his infrastructure spending. I mean, CSX has just been, this thing's been on a tear since that guy dropped dead and the new CEO took over. So I'd agree that some of the transports ain't necessarily participating, but I guess it just depends on your transport. How did we get into this? Oh, we were reading that question.
It was a nice diversion.
Yeah, it was. No, that was good conversation. All right, let's knock out two more, and then we'll cover a couple of our own personal favorite trades there. So, Chris, what is the Stars Group, or what's your take on that? I've never heard of it.
Which one we got? Which ticker? Which one did he say? I missed it.
TSG. I think TSG. It's number 9 there. TSG. Yeah.
All right. By the way, I like the transports. I had the transports up. I think they've been active. I think just as Matt said, it depends what transport. But this is a transport ETF. It's almost at new highs. So I think they've been acting really well. Again, depends on which one. So TSG. Let's go to TSG. Stars Group. Stars Group, another name that I don't know what's going on with Thinkorswim over here. Thinkorswim, you got Tron going on here or something. I don't know. Stars Group, it is actually looking like it's breaking out. So it just made a 52-week high, looks like today. It looks like apparently a nice earnings report because it did launch higher, came in and consolidated a little bit. So while I don't know this name, I would stick with it, 52-week high. Would I get long here? Probably not because I don't know it. But if you're long it, I would stick with it.
Do you guys know what it does? I mean, I'm looking at my E-Trade platform. It's sector and industry or blank. What's it do? I don't know what it does.
I have no idea. For me, the volume is just not enough to get my attention.
It's online gaming.
Online gaming. That's online what I just gaming. Saw here.
You know what? So they're probably playing off of some of the rulings that have come out.
Well, what happened today was the governor of my home state, Jersey, he legally.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, he signed it into law today.
I'm aware.
Yeah,
I was here. Me and him were butting up. We were talking about it. He told me that,
What exit? So 4% jump today on Jersey getting in. At the end of the day, folks, all 50 states are going to have some sort of gambling. I mean, Atlantic City tried to be the East Coast Vegas, and it's a shite hole. So whatever hey, man, I'm exit 44, and I love my cheesesteaks and my Eagles.
You're dead to me.
Yeah. Oh, what are you, a Giants fan?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, for Christ's sake. They still have a team?
You know, how many Super Bowls have you won?
One.
One. You win one finally in the last.
How many have you won recently? Hey, let's be present. Let's live in the moment. The current world champions are the Philadelphia.
Hey, at least we both beat the Patriots.
All right, man. Well, you know what? Let's wrap up with EA, Electronic Arts, and then let's get some good trades that we're all looking at. So, Chris, why don't you take EA and then Mike?
Yeah. you know, again, another, the gaming's really strong. It's funny because we just went over the Stars. By the way, I'm also from Jersey too, so
forget about it.
Just want to let you guys fight it out there for a minute. EA is you know, you could see it here because I actually had a I was looking at this again. You know, it's been for a lot of these tech names, a lot of these momentum names, there's been bull flags just all over the place. So it is broken out from the bull flag. Is it getting a little bit extended? Yeah, looking at the RSI, you know, again, if you're long, I would stay with it. You know, when we get to the trade ideas section, I do like the gamers a lot. You know, I like the EA, Activision, and Take-Two. So I'll wait till my turn to talk about ideas, but I've got one name to kind of talk about in this group, which I think is setting up pretty nicely.
Okay, perfect. Mike, what do you think about EA?
Broke that, like he said. I mean, I can't really say much more than Chris said. It's, to me, yeah, it's a little too hot up here. It's a little extended off the 8-day top of the Bollinger Band. Sweet move. Could it keep going? Yeah, this, you know, I see people out there saying it's the next LinkedIn because they've been buying some way out of the money calls on it. I mean, we're talking like the, I saw like, I think it was 155s or something like that. Maybe it gets bought out. I know there's been rumors on it. Microsoft supposedly looking at them, but honestly, for me here, this is no longer on my radar. I'll look at other names.
Mm-hmm. I have two teenagers in this house, and then a 10-year-old. So I love this sector. In the sector, I love.
And we lost Matt. So but Matt loves it, but he's gone.
Yeah,
so,
no, exactly. No, I was actually giving myself a pretty good brief here, so to speak. Yeah. So I got teenagers at home. I got a 10-year-old outside of the teenagers. Love the gaming sector, and EA is obviously the monster in the room, holding very well above the 50-day moving average, and I'm very bullish on EA. But no, I wanted to cruise to get to the best part of this, which is what Chris and Mike and myself are looking at now as good trades on our own. So let's go ahead and do that, gents. What's on your radar, Chris, that's catching your fancy, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple names that I think are really interesting. But sticking with the theme of gaming, I've been long Activision, and that's been working out quite nicely. But, you know, Activision, it's kind of starting to look like EA. It hasn't made a 52-week high yet, but, you know, tough to buy it after it's kind of broken out of that similar bull flag pattern. But Take-Two, you know, looks pretty good. I think it's got a clear, you know, a little bit further. You know, how I kind of leg into these with names that are inside value is a kind of starter position. But it kind of looks like it's got that same thing going for it here. It's got a, you know, maybe an extended bull flag. And I think this name pops out here, and I think it gets to a 52-week high. It looks pretty strong. There was some option activity in there as well. It's basically how I use option activity. It just basically for an idea. You know, I look to see where institutional money is going, and then I kind of construct my own idea around it. But there was a bullish call risk reversal. There was calls bought, put sold. I like that name. Just kind of sticking with. I'll give you just couple other symbols that I'm looking at very quickly. Workday, I think really sets up pretty nice here. A lot of these application enterprise software names didn't do much after earnings. They beat on earnings, but you know, just didn't react very well, as most of tech this last quarter did not act great after earnings, but they come alive after a couple weeks after they get the earnings behind them. I like Workday here versus this support. If it breaks the support, you got a little bit more, you know, down to the 200-day moving average, but I would get out of it if it breaks 122.5. And we'll see if it gets back above the 50-day moving average, but I like the support that it's got going there.
Well done.
I'll leave it there for you guys.
I like some of those trade ideas. Very well done. Mike, how about you, my friend?
I have a couple different ones. So I'm no longer in Twitter except for a little bit of comment I've been holding since 17, which was a great trade, and I'm no longer in Square, which is a great trade, and I took my FTC out today, which was another great trade, and I'm focusing now on X, and everybody laughs at me, but I look at this chart, and you know, this thing gets above 38 and it closes with volume. This thing's going to go. They were buying the living hell out of the weekly 40 calls today, which is just kind of strange, right? When you look at it, you know, not a lot of time left. They're looking for something here. You can see it has kind of an inverted head and shoulders pattern here. It breaks 38 on volume. We get a close above it. I think this thing takes off, and the next stop is 40 plus. So I like X, keeping an eye on that one. And to give you a different name, I'm watching CAT. You know, this is another name. This whole industrial sector really hasn't participated in this rally so much, right? And that's what I like to do, is start looking for names that haven't participated. You know, CAT was the one that sold us off. Remember the CEO and during the call in the middle of the day in the markets, and, you know, said this is the high point of the year?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Right? Well, guess look, we came all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks good. And if you like CAT, then you got to like names like Deer. So I'm not trying to give you a specific, you know, like Deer. These names have all sitting here waiting to go. Even Boeing, which ran to a new all-time high last week, that's kind of flagging here. They have beautiful looks. And one last one, Matt, and I'll give it to you. And it's not your space, but you got to keep an eye on Gilead. We've seen a big move in Teva and VRX lately. We had huge call buying last week. It filled its gap. It was a nice trade for people who trade with me. And now I'm watching the hell out of here, because it's not really a pure – it's a big biotech name now, right? It's not one of those little names anymore. They own a lot. They're big. This chart, big call buying, the August 75s, hasn't gone anywhere. Flagging, you know, don't have to stay with it long, but a move up towards 75 definitely looks like it's a possibility.
I like that. Okay.
Don't fall in love with biotech, but a quick trade, it's worth it.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, when I was up at the Death Star up at Peak 6, I mean, it was Immunogen or something like that. One of our traders, hey, man, it passed phase 1, phase 2, and phase 3. There's no way in hell it can not pass phase 4. He lost $4 million in 30 seconds. And it sucks, you know, with biotechs, the only people on the face of this earth that are allowed to trade illegally on biotechs are what? The FDA and members of Congress and their staff. Insider trading is not illegal to members of Congress. Look that one up. Anyway, my big one is Raytheon right here. Obviously, and it's funny the way stocks work, right? Oh, my God, we might have peace in the Korean Peninsula. Raytheon's going to get – the defense stocks got kicked in the teeth today. If you don't, the Iran has been as quiet as a church mouse. What was it? 2 months ago, Donald J. Trump gave a press conference where he said, hey, we're pulling out of the Iranian nuclear deal. It more or less sounded like a declaration of war. We were in a live trade brief trading as we made like 3,300 bucks in 17 minutes as Trump talked, as the defense stocks rallied during his press conference. And obviously, Raytheon's doing a little bit of a pullback. Take a look at there's a one-year chart. Let's say 2-year, 5-year. Look at Raytheon, man. And this was under Barack Hussein Obama and sequestration. This was when the Defense Department, I mean, hell, the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds couldn't fly because they were grounded, you know, for money. Donald J. Trump wants to turn our enemies into hair, teeth, and eyeballs. I would be bullish on the defense stocks here just because there's potential peace, God forbid, on the Korean Peninsula. It doesn't mean the Middle East ain't a shit show. The other one I like right now, we've been trading Wynn. This is another Gordon Gekko moment for us here at TGO. We were in a live trade brief. Breaking news, Steve Wynn is Harvey Weinstein. This thing, we pounded it into the dirt with a bear call spread, bearish double verticals. Once it rebounded or leveled off, I said, hey, man, the dude's got to go, and he's got to go pretty damn soon. Within 3 days, 4 days, we had a bull put spread in here. Short story long, we've been trading the hell out of Wynn. It ain't going out of business. They're going to change the name. You can't. This is like, hey, where are you going in Vegas? I'm going to the Weinstein. Steve Wynn's name on the top of this thing is not good. They had some weak Macau news back here, but it's pulling out nicely. So we've been trading literally iron condors on this. We're up. Since breaking news, this dude's is a potential Harvey Weinstein. We're up nearly 50 grand in trading here.
I like the MGM win.
Yeah, well, MGM, actually, we did MGM. This was another.
But I think it's a good chance MGM tries to buy him out.
I wouldn't be surprised. This was another Gordon Gekko moment. Unfortunately, this was one of our biggest national tragedies right here, and we got long win. It's kind of been flat. MGM's kind of been flat. It had a nice run, and it gave most of that back. There's a lot of legal exposure here with MGM, but as you guys know, that shit takes – I mean, we might be dead and buried before any of that legal stuff's resolved. And that's just what's going on with that Vegas shooting. I mean, Christ almighty, we know about more about these high school shooters within 15 minutes than we do – this dude that mowed all those people down. So MGM, eh, out of the two of them, if I'm flipping a coin, I'd go Wynn easily. So I like my two tips here would be Raytheon and Wynn. I'd get into the defense sector on, oh my God, peace might break out. We all know that in the blink of, I love all the liberals frothing at the mouth last night, like, I can't believe he's standing there with a dictator. And the dude didn't fly pallets of cash there to kiss this guy's ass. And he also got three Americans released. By the way, Iran, under Barack Hussein Obama's 8 years, killed over 3,000 U.S. service personnel and Marines, period. And the Pentagon was never allowed to talk about it. Why? Because we were trying to get this nuke deal. So in the blink of an eye, North Korea could turn into a shit show again. All these liberals are frothing at the mouth, telling us not to believe this guy and he's going to trick us. Well, if he does, I know for a fact back in October, we had three carrier strike groups off the coast of North Korea, and the president was going to strike North Korea in October. The dude ain't messing around. Donald J. Trump does not mess around, and it's nice to have that. So the defense sector is going to keep rallying. Peace ain't breaking out no matter what. Who was it? Eisenhower said, beware of the military-industrial complex. It is going to take on a life of its own, and it will. So, all right, guys, good session today, as usual, man. We always have a good time here. So, Chris, how do we get a hold of you at Tribeca Trade Group, and give us a little brief on how we can follow you, my friend?
Yeah, sure. And, yeah, I like that trade, too. It seems like every time that Raytheon comes in, it's a buying opportunity, you know, and it seems like it does move a little bit on the headlines.
Exactly.
And I like those. I like all your trade ideas. Very good. You can follow me at C. Fromhertz on Twitter. And Tribeca Trade Group, you know, the promotion that I run is you could basically get a week for free. You come in for the first 7 days for $7. So check us out, TribecaTradeGroup.com. Again, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to be on and fun to kind of debate and go through some charts. So thanks, guys. Have a great night.
You bet, Chris. Mike, how do we track you down, my friend?
Man, great to be with you, Chris and Matt. Thanks for being here. And David, thanks for having me. You can get me on Twitter at OptionsMike. You can find me there. It's my website, smartoptiontrading.com. I do a promotion, $25 for the first 30 days. Guys, $25 is less than the cost of a couple beers and a night out. You get to know me, I get to know you. And if you decide you like, it's $100 a month and you sign up and you join up with me. Love to have you. Love being here. Thanks for having me on, and I'll catch you guys next time.
You bet, my friend. Good working with you guys as well. Real quick, if you're interested, tomorrow after the close, I'm just going to do a quick webinar because as Chris and Mike just alluded to, we are in one of these most I get the VIX is down here near the I'm dead again. I'm dead to you, Fredo. But remember the last time the VIX got down to this you're dead to me, Fredo. It went up to 50 and it wiped out all these short vol traders. So there's a lot of danger in this market right now, and it ain't priced in, to be honest with you. We really are back down to this resting heart rate. When vol's cheap, you buy it. When it's expensive, you sell it. So after the close tomorrow at 4:30, I'm going to knock out a little webinar and do some sector targeting. In addition to the Raytheon, the CSX, and the Wynn I covered today, we might cover some other stuff as well. All you have to do is head to go.topconoptions.com/FT. That stands for Full Throttle Dash Webinar, and I'll just knock out one of these tomorrow afternoon. And I really want to talk about volatility because this is it's – the guy that owned Peak Six when I was there, Matt Holsizer, he's a great American. He always said, hey, man, when you hear me say this is nuts as an options trader, stop mentally clubbing in the Bahamas and listen to me. We're back down to this resting heart rate this is January when all the short vol traders got killed. We're almost back down to the nothing else could ever go bad in the world again, which is just a stupid way to be trading. So come tomorrow, maybe after the close, and we'll learn how to hedge. So, look at that, David, on time, on target, to the bottom of the hour, my friend. So thanks for having me as a host, and I look forward to coming back soon.
Yeah, great show. Thanks, guys. Just a quick announcement. If you have not seen this yet, I have now set up all the timing research shows to be available as podcasts. So through iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get podcasts. So if you do not have time, to watch one of the shows, you can at least listen to the audio. So if you go to timingresearch.com and click on the podcast page, you can get the links to all those. And of course, you can still subscribe on YouTube as well if you have not done that yet. And be sure to join us next week for both shows. Crowd Forecast News will be back on Monday, June 18th at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And then the next episode of this show will be June 19th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. A few of the people I have on the schedule for next week are Simon Klein, Lance Ippolito, Jim Kenny, Todd Mitchell, and Dean Jenkins. So be sure to join us for both shows next week. And just want to thank my guests again for this week. Christian Fromhertz of TribecaTradeGroup.com, Mike Bassani of AlphaShark and AlphaShark.com and SmartOptionTrading.com, and Matt Buckley of Top Gun Options. Thanks, guys.